He's confirmed his individuality anyways. An impersonal Brahman has been declared to be subordinate to him. This is later to come in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along. So it is not that the living entity becomes Krishna. Otherwise, why would Krishna be stressing the individuality? So some people will say, well, that's only the only ones who are individuals are conditioned souls. But how could Krishna be a conditioned soul? And if Krishna is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul in individual consciousness, then the Bhagavad Gita has no value as an authoritative scripture. A common man with all the four defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. The Gita is above such literature. No mundane book compares with the Bhagavad Gita. When one accepts Krishna as an ordinary man, the Gita loses all importance. The Mayavadi argues that the plurality or individuality mentioned in this verse is conventional and refers to the body. But previous to this verse, such a bodily conception is already condemned. If you memorize the logic in this purport, you'll be able to, if not defeat a Mayavadi, but really confuse him. So he doesn't know anything anymore, and he will give you all his money on Sankirtan. Because these people will be so proud, they'll never admit defeat. But this one purport contains sufficient argument to win most arguments with non-devotee Mayavadis, or those claiming to be Mayavadis. So please read this very carefully. I shall ask a few questions on this, because it's so nice. That way I can encourage you to read it carefully. So after Krishna explains this nice verse, Natvevaham Jatunasam, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Then he says a very, very, very famous verse. Dehenos min yata dehe. What is the next line? And then he transfers to another body. And diras tatra namuyate. When that body dies, he just goes on to another body. Just as he's transferred in this body, the one soul has transferred from boyhood to youth to old age, even in this body. That's changes of bodies. So similarly, at the time of death, one takes on a new body, and the dira, or the sober person, he is not bewildered by such a change. Because Krishna is explaining this to Arjuna, because Arjuna is worried about Bhishma and Drona's death. This was one of his main fears. He saw his teacher, he saw his grandfather before him, and he did not want to kill them. But Krishna tells them, you don't want them to change their body, and that's why you don't want to fight? But my dear Arjuna, they have already changed their body so many times, even within this life. Bhishma was once young, and he was once middle-aged, and he was now old-aged. And Drona was once young, and he was once middle-aged, and now he's old. And what is death but another change? This verse, with a a teeny bit of intelligence, every single person in this room and outside this room can perceive directly, personally, individually, that we are not our body. We can all experience it with a little intelligence. This verse is so important for that reason. Komaram, Jovaram, Jara. What is the earliest memory you have? Think, everyone think, the earliest memory they have. Vaishnava, how old were you? Not now. Then, your earliest memory. Girls.
1 year old.
1 year old? That's amazing. He can only remember back when he was 28. What were you doing when you were 1 year old?
My smaller brother was born, and I was brought to my uncle and auntie. And I was put in a chair, sitting there, and they put me in the back of the room, and I couldn't speak. And I knew they were my uncle and auntie, and I was in the dark part of the room, and I wanted to see the garden. So I kind of communicated towards them, and after some confusion, they understood me.
How did you communicate that to them at 1 year old? Now, can you imagine how just of course you can't remember exactly, maybe you can, but how big were you at that time?
Oh, I was just a very small boy.
Like 1 year old? Well, how big is one? Like this? No, well, not this small, I know that. But like this? All right, okay. So, stand up for a second. Why, you've changed your body. Now, if we saw a picture of Gairaj Prabhu when he was this big at 1 year old, and we'd see him now, it's clear he's changed his body completely. But were you the same person? There's the same feeling of me. Yeah. I remember my earliest memory is when I was 3 or something like that. Well, how old were you? What's your earliest you can remember?
When I was 3.
Yeah. What were you doing?
My younger brother was born, and I leapt on the bed of my mother and started eating all the sweets.
You haven't changed much. Well, you've changed your body. And then, although it's hard to believe when one is 28, we will become old like me, 47 now. I never, ever thought it would happen. We become old and our knee hurts and our ankle hurts, and you just watch the kids just running and playing. And into the heart, boy, I wish I could be running and playing like that again. Because this old body won't do it. So my body has changed, but I remember when I was 20, it was me. I remember the first time I chanted Hare Krishna, I was 20 years old. It was me in a park in Buffalo, New York. When I tell the Indian devotees, they ask me what school I went to. I say, Buffalo University. It's very hard to understand for an Indian devotee what you learn in Buffalo University. Except maybe you go left, then go right. I also have kind of Sandy, they do it. You learn how to stop and get up. No. But I went to Buffalo University. Okay. So I remember, it was a completely different body. And if people would see me in my 3-year-old body and then see me in that body, didn't recognize you, you've changed. But actually, I never changed. I'm still the same person. But my body has changed. But because I identify with the body, I'm thinking I am the body. Therefore, I have to experience every pain that goes along with this body. This is called Maya. The example I always give is when you have a new car and you're driving in your new car and some truck bangs into you. You feel that pain as if somebody hit you. And you may even get out, "You hit me!" No, it didn't touch me. But due to that identification, I have to suffer. This is called Maya. And death, just like Gairaj changed his body from this big to this big, so death is simply another change of body. Everyone experiences this. Everyone experiences this change of body. We remain the same. I was 5, I was 3, I was 12, but my body has changed. Dehenos minyata. This is such a good verse to preach to ourselves. It can make anyone understand they are not their body. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are so worried about the change of body of Bhishma and Drona, but why are you worried? They'll just change. You don't want to kill them, but they're just going to change their body. They have old bodies, and they're going to get young bodies. So is it better to have an old body or a young body? It's better to have a young body. So therefore you should be happy that they're going to change their body. Look at the example of Yayati Maharaj. He had an old body, and then which son traded him? Puru. Traded him for a young body. Was he unhappy or was he happy? He was happy. So therefore you should be happy if you're going to help them change their bodies to young bodies. That's Krishna's logic in this. And then in the next verse, also a very important verse, and these two verses will combine together to give us our basic philosophy. Let's see. The next verse, after explaining to Arjuna that Bhishma and Drona, they've already changed their bodies. What's the difficulty? You don't want to fight because you don't want to kill them. Death is just a change of body. So Arjuna's thinking, okay, they're going to change their body. And their soul is eternal, but I'm attached to their body. I'm attached to knowing them as they are. That will cause me great pain if they change their body. So Krishna's answer to that is yes, Arjuna, and you must become tolerant. Matra sparshas the kaunteya sitos na sukha dukadaha. Next. Anityas tams to tikshasabara. So matra sparshas the kaunteya. All sense perception, all that we're perceiving in this world is just coming through our senses. We see something, we hear something, we touch something, we smell something, we taste something. Of all the senses, which is the largest? The largest? Some people have really large tongues, but usually the sense of touch is actually the largest, because you can touch with any part of your body. So this is actually the largest of the senses. But some people maybe have tongues, big mouths I've heard of. So, it's sense perception. So Krishna says, Sita usna sukha dukada. Sita usna, winter and summer, happiness and distress, agama payano. They come and they go. Anityas, they are temporary. Tamsta tikshasa. You have to learn to tolerate it. This is the very nature of the material world. It is always changing. Even we're always preaching, you cannot be happy in the material world. You cannot be happy in the material world. You cannot be happy in the material world. But someone may say, well, I like it in the material world. I like my situation. You say I can't be happy. You know, it's not satisfying to the soul to love my mother and my father and my dog and my cat. But I do love my mother and my father and my children and my dog and my cat. And I do love them. But they are anityas. It will change. Even though you may like it, the situation, you cannot keep it. And the very nature of the material world is that because it's always changing, those things that cause you happiness will also cause you distress, because you don't want it to change. And the things that cause you distress, they cause you distress by definition. So every situation in the material world is ultimately a cause of distress because it's changing. And we long for the eternal. Here we are, situated in the temporary, changing material world, but we're eternal souls. And therefore we're so uncomfortable here because we long for an eternal atmosphere. And we cannot have it in the material world. Therefore, always up and down. So based on the knowledge that we are eternal souls, that we are not this material body, fixing ourselves in that consciousness of eternity, that we are eternal, therefore we can remain steady throughout all the different changes. And one must learn to be like that. This is called action. One has to be, it's very difficult, but this is Krishna, this is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Based on the fact that we are not our body, that we are spirit soul servants of Krishna, we do our duty for Krishna regardless of whether we are happy or sad, it's hot or it's cold, this happens or that happens. We fix ourselves in doing our duty, and in this way, we actually, by tolerating the different changes of the material world, not identifying with the changes of the material world, which must happen, like summer and winter, happiness and distress, they always must come and they always must go. So if we fix our mind not on that, but on the fact that we're Krishna's servants, then we can become fixed and steady and strong and stable, even in the material world. And otherwise, it's impossible to be fixed and strong and stable in the material world. And often the way we feel is that when things are going good, we become happy. And when things are going bad, we become miserable. And then things, after a while, become happy. And then up and down, happy, sad, miserable, happy. And you feel like it drives you crazy, actually speaking. Because we identify not with being Krishna's servant, but with all the different changes of the material world. Again, this is Maya. So this is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Don't identify with these things. You have to do your duty. And he's really saying, because I am ordering you to do this, you fight. And because I am ordering you, it is not duty, it is bhakti. You fight as my servant out of loving affection for me. Never mind the happiness and distress, what's going to happen. You're eternal. You fix your consciousness on that eternal relationship with me. You have to live in that relationship. And then you can become callous to the ups and downs and the changing of the material world. That's what Krishna is telling Arjuna, and that will be explained actually in the next verse. The person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. But the point is that one has to be able to fix his mind on Krishna to be able to do this. Because if you fix your mind on that the material world is temporary, all you're going to be thinking of is the material world is temporary. And you're going to be, all your consciousness will be simply fixed on the material world. I am not my body. If you're thinking only I am not my body, you're going to be thinking about your body all the time. If you think, oh, I'm not interested in the member of the opposite sex, you'll only be thinking about them. That's like, right now, I will give you, we'll make a scientific experiment. You can think about anything in the anything in the world right now for the next 1 minute. I'll tell you when to begin. Think about anything except for one thing. Don't think about monkeys. Okay? Think about anything you want, but don't think about monkeys. Now, what are you not supposed to think about? Okay, now we have 1 minute. No, it's not. You're not allowed to just chant Hare Krishna, though. And even if you do, don't let monkeys come into your mind while you're chanting. Okay, 1 minute. Think about anything but monkeys. Okay, we won't go on for a minute. Okay, 15 seconds. Who thought about monkeys at least once or twice during that time? Did anyone not think about monkeys? Raise your hand if you didn't think about, of course. How did you do it? What was your technique?
I was just imagining putting monkeys.
What?
I remembering when we
you are just like me. And you, what did you do?
And I was going downstairs to get on my bicycle to go to the beach.
You went to the beach instead of monkeys. Okay, what did you do?
We're going through the phonograms and the verbal kit.
You really have to think so hard. So therefore, if we're thinking, I'm not my body, I'm not going to enjoy the material world. I'm not going to think about women, I'm not going to think about men. I'm not going to think about playing the guitar. I'm not going to think about money. I'm going to, if we don't, if we, all we'll do is think about those things. But if we have the higher taste, if we're attracted to Krishna, then there won't be any question about thinking about Maya. And that's actually the process. Param dhrisvana vartate. By the higher taste, we can overcome the lower and control this monkey mind. But otherwise, we cannot. We'll just think about monkeys all day long. Tomorrow, when we're chanting japa, everyone should think, I can think about anything in the world, but I won't think about Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then maybe we'll be able to think about Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare when we're chanting japa. This is the nature of the rascal mind. Krishna will explain this in chapter 6. So we've covered quite a few points here. But the main one that I wanted to cover is this point that we're not our bodies. But we shouldn't just fix we're not our body. Just like in prison. The man in prison is what is he hoping for? Liberation, to get out. But everyone who is free, they already have that. They're not thinking about liberation, but they're doing things. So the higher consciousness is to know what you're going to do when you get out. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasika bhavita mati. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti ras. The mellow taste, the sweet taste of our relationship with Krishna. But it has to begin with ABC. And if we think that we are our body, then our work will be in relationship with the body. If we think that we are not the body, our work will be nothing. And if we think we are Krishna's servant, our work will be all over the world serving Krishna. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. Tomorrow we may continue with this, and we may start climbing the yoga ladder. I'll see. Thanks. Cool. In this over here, probably combination, Prabhupada contemporizing the instructions of the acharyas. Yes. See, the devotee doesn't think about his own happiness at all. He thinks simply Krishna's happiness. And automatically, as a byproduct, he becomes happy. Pushti chudapaya anugasan. When you eat, automatically you get strength, you get nourished, and your appetite is satisfied. These things happen automatically. So for a pure devotee, he's not concerned about his own happiness. Janmani janmanishvare bhavajad bhakti ahaitakitai. He's concerned with Krishna's happiness. But automatically, as a byproduct, he's happy. If we go to Krishna for happiness, that's Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritina. It means a pious person who's going to Krishna to satisfy his needs. But it's not pure devotional service. Clear? The devotee thinks that Krishna will be happy. That will be my happiness. Like the gopis of Vrindavan, they would dress themselves just to please Krishna and make him smile. Just for his pleasure. When the coward boys, you know the story of Dhanukasura? You know that story? Dhanukasura.
Yes.
A donkey. And Balaram threw in the trees. What forest did they go to? Huh? Talaval. Talavan. So the boys said, the wrong story. When Krishna was begging food from the brahmanas, Krishna said that the coward boy said to Krishna, Krishna, we want some food to eat. Therefore, what should we do? So Krishna said, you go beg from these brahmanas. But actually, the coward boys were not thinking about filling their own bellies. They thought Krishna's hungry now. This is love. They were only thinking about pleasing Krishna. That is pure devotional service. Good question. Okay. Hare Krishna, let's please Krishna by going to Arti. Jai Shri Prabhupada. After Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Krishna immediately began instructing Arjuna. He first began taking the spiritual master's prerogative and calling his disciple a fool. He chastised Arjuna, Pragyavaram Stavachate. Although you are speaking as if you were a learned man, learned people do not say the kind of things that you're saying. Because learned people do not identify with the body. And Arjuna's calculations were based on the principle, they're based on the bodily conception of life. But when we understand that deeply, we can understand that they are based on the lack of his desire to follow Krishna's instructions, because Krishna wanted him to fight and he was declining. So when we say that they are based on Arjuna's bodily concept of life, what we're really saying is that he's not identifying himself as the eternal servant of Krishna. And even if one thinks that he's a spirit soul, that he's not his body, but yet he doesn't understand that he's Krishna's eternal servant, his position is not complete. And it will be explained later that to know that we are not the body, that we are souls, is not a transcendental realization. Actually speaking, it is a material realization to understand we are not our body. Aham Brahmasmi. This is born of the mode of goodness. Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam. From the mode of goodness comes the knowledge that we are not our body, that we are eternal, that we are souls. And that is considered the door to liberation. But in and of itself, it is not liberation. It brings us to the point where we can become liberated. This is actually described in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Then, then knowing that we're not our body, but we're eternal souls, if we focus our mind on Krishna, then liberation will come. This is actually described in the fifth chapter. So in any case, Krishna chastises Arjuna. And he says, again, that you're foolish. You don't understand, and yet you are speaking. And this is very bad. Then Krishna begins to describe transcendental knowledge. What is the first knowledge that he describes? What verse? Who remembers? Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of this cease to be. And then, right into Dehenos Vinyata Dehe, Komaram Jovanam Dara, Tata Dehantara Praptir, Dira Satara Muyate. And then, next, Matra Sparsas. These two verses are some of the most quoted verses of Bhagavad Gita. And within these two simple verses, plus the verse that follows them, basically the whole concept of karma yoga or bhakti yoga is described. Because once we understand that we are spirit souls, we are not our body, and that we are eternally the servants of Krishna, then by focusing our mind on Krishna, and simultaneously, by tolerating all the effects of Maya, of the material world, coming down upon us, and simply focusing our consciousness on Krishna, then the next verse, which we just read very, took 1 second on yesterday, text 15, yam hi navya tante te prusha. So if one masters these two points, following the order of one's spiritual master, which is the order of Krishna, following that order, if one fixes his consciousness on the fact that he is a servant of Krishna, and then tolerates the onslaught of the material nature, which must come, then the result is, O best amongst men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both, is certainly eligible for liberation. So this brings one to the point of liberation, because one is no longer influenced by the material energy anymore. One is fixed in Krishna's service on the order of the spiritual master. And one is not at all being buffed around or moved around by the material energy. So therefore, practically speaking, one is liberated. One is not touched by the material energy. Prabhupada, when describing something about his own transcendental life, described... he said that he had been given the order to preach in the West by his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then once when he was reading one of the verses in the second chapter, 241, he was struck by the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The verse is Vyavyasatmika Buddhi, that when one's consciousness is Ekeha Kurunandana, that when one's consciousness is fixed on the order of Krishna by means of the of his coming down through his spiritual master, Vyavya Sadmika Buddhi, one is resolute. One's consciousness is simply ekeha, just one, fixed on the order of Krishna through the spiritual master, and Bahushaka Tvanantascha Buddheo Vyavasainam. This is the only way to have fixed, has to take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master. And that shelter is fixed. And his consciousness has to be fixed on pleasing the spiritual master. And then one's consciousness becomes practically like a laser. It can cut through anything. And then matra spashas the kaunteya sitos na sukadukadaha. When one is fixed on the order of our spiritual master, That is the potency. That means actually being fixed in the internal energy of the Lord. And that potency, that fixedness, allows us to remain steady and strong and not touched or moved as the material energy is changing and pushing us back and forth right before our very eyes. This is actually the secret of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said that when he read this, the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this, he remembered how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had instructed him and ordered him to preach Krishna consciousness in English in the Western world. And then his determination became resolute. Without this resolute determination fixed on the order of the spiritual master, one must get moved back and forth as the material energy moves back and forth. Because this, we'll be discussing this in a moment. The very nature of the material energy is always shifting. It's always changing. And each and every one of us have our own karma. So some days we feel very happy by the modes of material nature, and some days we feel so miserable, and some days everything we do is successful, and some days everything we do fails one after another. So if we're happy when we're successful and miserable when we fail, we should understand that we are missing the entire point of Krishna consciousness, because happiness and failure just have to do more or less with karma. And they are not in our control. But what is in our control and what real success is, this, vyavya sadmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Whether we are successful, whether we fail, if we are following the orders of our spiritual master, then we are successful by definition. One time when Prabhupada first came to the United States, he was corresponding with a disciple of one of his god brothers. And Prabhupada at that time, the full success of his, this was maybe in 1967, the full success of his preaching hadn't yet manifest. And they mentioned that this is ludicrous about the Westerners becoming Krishna consciousness. And actually speaking, what Prabhupada did was so amazing, because in India, when we're preaching in India, we see that it's just below the surface, Krishna consciousness. That the Indian people have all the culture that leads naturally to Krishna consciousness. But that culture is completely foreign to the West. So for Prabhupada to take the seed of Krishna consciousness, of vegetarianism, of reincarnation, all these things, of the deity. When you are born in India, immediately you have faith in the deity. Immediately you have faith in sadhus. Immediately you know you're not your body. It's such a blessing. The whole culture is going out in that direction. So it's easy to become Krishna conscious in that sense. But the Prabhupada to take this Krishna conscious seed, the Bhakti Lata Beej, and plant it in the heart of so many Westerners who had no idea of these basic concepts, who were brought up with meat, fish, and eggs, mingling with boys and girls at the earliest ages, watching television, thinking that the purpose of life is to just succeed, to come up, achieve something, having no idea that when we die, that the soul lives on. This was the greatest of miracles, actually. And therefore, when Satsrupa Maharaj, he called the second volume of his Prabhupada Lilamrita, Planting the Seed. And it really was just that. And it took Krishna Shakti Nahivina Tarapavartana. It took someone so empowered to do this. So empowered by the Shakti of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when one gets fixed on the order of the spiritual master, one actually becomes empowered in that way. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said in comment, and this is what struck Prabhupada. Listen to this. The best kind of intelligence I can have, this is vyavya sadmika buddhi, is intelligence used in the service of Krishna. That intelligence is defined as fixed when it is intent
upon my spiritual master's instructions, such as chanting the names of Krishna, remembering his activities, and performing service to his lotus feet. His instructions are my sadhana and my life, both in the beginning stages of bhakti as well as in bhakti's perfectional stage. I desire only to follow his instructions. I accept nothing else as my life's work, even in dreams. Whether I am happy or distressed, whether the material world remains or it is destroyed, I do not care. There is no loss for me. I simply must carry out the orders of my spiritual master. Fixedness upon his orders is determined intelligence in devotional service, and only by being fixed in his order is such determined intelligence possible. The opposite is described in this verse. This vyavyasatmika buddhi is described in the verse, and bahushaka, what does shaka mean? Branch of a tree, or even sometimes a branch of an institution will be called a shaka. So bahushaka means many branch, yanantascha, unlimited, many branches occur when one's intelligence is not fixed. Because immediately the mind comes up with so many other desires. So this verse in 241 is the key to succeeding in Krishna consciousness and being fixed in devotional service, as explained in these earlier verses, Dehenos minyata dehe, komanam jovanam dira, tata dehantara praptya, diras tataran huyate. When one understands again, when one understands that one is Krishna's eternal servant, he's a soul, we are souls, we are eternal. And Krishna gives us in this verse such a simple, perfect analogy that every person who is the slightest bit thoughtful can immediately understand that he is not the body, because every one of us experienced that when we were children, little babies playing, and even if we don't remember that, we see them playing everywhere, and we see old men everywhere, and we see people our age everywhere, and through all these changes of body we remain the same. We have experience of this, that there is something that does not change. My mind has changed 2 billion times. My intelligence has changed. Hopefully it has grown. My body has changed in every way. But every one of us experiences it. And this is the frustrating thing about growing old. Because you have the same desires. You want to run. You want to jump. You want to be attractive. All those desires are there, but the body no longer can do it. So it's so frustrating. And when one gets old, and one often finds this with old men and old ladies, they become cynical, they become bitter, because they've spent their lives and they don't have anything. They have all the same desires, but they can't do it anymore. So every person has this experience. So based on this experience and this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, that we are eternal, that we do not change as the body changes. We are eternal. And then understanding that who are we? We are Krishna's servant, based on that knowledge even more. And that order of Krishna comes through the spiritual master. Then we become fixed, and that is eternal life.